in John 21. James 2:14 down to 26. I'm going to kind of just real quick go through that. There's a statement in here where it says, faith without works is dead. A lot of times we use that idea. A lot of times Arminians, we use that to try to hold churches in bondage. And I just want to use that statement and then jump off into something else about love and charity. And so if we would, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand your words. I do ask you to help us to learn how to rightly divide the word and help us to recognize the superiority of this book over the original manuscripts. Thank you for that. Thank you that you've revealed light in this English book that you will not give with Greek and Hebrew. Appreciate that. And I pray you'd help us to love your word because of it and help it to change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in James 2, verse 14, when you read through the Bible, you got to continually ask yourself two questions. And the questions are, who's talking? To whom is he talking? And if you try to interpret James 2 in the light of Paul's writings, it will not make sense. A lot of Baptists have a problem with James 2, and that's because they're trying to fit it into their Baptist doctrine, and it doesn't fit in there. And here's what I mean. In chapter 2, verse 14, he says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Romans 4, 5, for this day, can faith save him? The answer is yes. But the context is implying no. And so some would say, we got a contradiction. Not unless you rightly divide it. You see, for the New Testament believer, for a person today, Romans 4, 5 clearly says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. But James 2, 14 is not implying that. And so this is when a pastor tries to apply James 2, 14 to 26 to his church, without rightly dividing it, a lot of them, what they do is they use that to hold people in bondage. And of course, they're going to make the list of what works you got to do, and that holds people in bondage. So what is he talking about, James 2, verse 14? So he says, if a brother or sister be naked, destitute of food, daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Okay, so a practical illustration of this is if somebody is in need of some financial help, and you say, well, I'm going to pray for you. I have faith in God that he's going to provide your needs. He's going to help you out. And then you walk away from him. To that person, your faith is dead. It didn't do them any good. Now, does that mean you have to help them out financially? No, it doesn't mean that. If the guy's not working, he's not willing to work, then don't help him out. If he's willing to do something, then you can help him out. That's a practical illustration of this. But if you look at this context-wise, as you keep reading, you drop down to, verse 20. Wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? Yeah, I see that. Okay, and so the doctrine of this letter. So when you read through the Bible, you got to look at that. So he gives Abraham as an illustration, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. That's Genesis 15. In Genesis 15, Abraham received God's righteousness, imputed righteousness by faith. But in verse 21, that didn't take place until Genesis 22, where he got justified by works. It's Old Testament doctrine. if we're going to let it say what it says without changing anything. So if we go back to verse 14, can faith save you? Yes, mine did through Jesus Christ, technically the Lord Jesus Christ, but I placed faith in him. Okay, but for the person that this is written to, who's this written to? Well, in the beginning of the letter, it says James. Galatians 2:9 says, James, Cephas, and John are apostles to the circumcision. And then in James 1, verse 2, it says, to the 12 tribes. And James 5, verse 3, it says, in the last days. So doctrinally, this letter is written to somebody, tribes, in the last days, the tribulation time period. He gives an illustration to Jewish people. You have to have faith and works. Illustration, Abraham, a Hebrew. Gentiles, you have to have faith and works. Illustration, Rahab. Faith without works is dead. Okay, now, that's a doctrinal thing if we're going to apply that doctrinally. Practically speaking, as I said, if somebody, a brother in Christ, is in need of some financial help, and I'm able to help them, and I said I'll pray for them, well, to them personally, my faith don't mean anything. It's dead to them. They don't really appreciate it. Now, there's two other words I want to jump and use that same phrase, but I want to change the wording. Instead of faith without works is dead, I want to give love without charity is dead. Love without charity is dead. And what do I mean by that? If you go to John chapter 21, some of you have heard this before about John 21 given in this way. I don't believe it in this way, but some of them have heard this. And some folks will not believe the English book that you have in your lap. Even though they may be, quote, King James only, which I'm not real impressed with, okay, but they'll throw in Greek and Hebrew words, and when they're doing that, they're implying that the English isn't good enough. They're implying you get little Greek nuggets, and I'm telling them they're missing a whole gold mine in the English. And this is an example, as there are several examples, that the English is superior to Greek and Hebrew. Now that's shocking to a lot of them. Well, it's written here in English. Now here's how it's normally done. John 21, verse 15, Jesus, you know, after Peter denied Jesus three times, Jesus is, next time he's with him, Pete needs to get that fixed. He needs to get that taken care of. He needs to get that put under the blood. So Jesus says to Simon Peter, John 21, 15, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Okay, the answer, Pete said, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Now, the Greeky friars are going to try to impress you right now, where Jesus used the word agape, agape salape, and that means, agape means undying love of God. And Peter responded with phileo, meaning I'm giving you a friendly love. And so Jesus comes back with agape, and Peter comes back with phileo. And they're saying that the English is not giving it good credence. Okay, and the Greek friars say that agape means undying love. Well, that's their opinion. And they're saying phileo is a friendly love. That's somebody's opinion. I don't know if I can trust that definition or not. Now, it sounds impressive when a guy goes through that. He'll go through the three verses, and Jesus, do you agape? And Peter, phileo, do you agape? Phileo, and do you agape? Phileo. Okay? You know, it sounds good, but, you know, sometimes God led the translators to translate phileo like agape and back and forth. And you get a clearer reading in English. This is where the English is better. Now, we'll take that to another level, okay? The word charity. How many of you heard 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the chapter is the love chapter? It's the charity chapter. I even have a wood plaque on my wall that says love chapter, and it's 1 Corinthians 13. I'm not going to engrave charity, even though I'd rather have that. And the thing is charity is different than love. You can have love, but when you have love without charity, it's dead. You can express love. What do I mean by that? Okay, the word charity is found 29 times starting in Romans chapter 14. Love is an emotion. I love you. Now, we're told to have an emotion of love. In Matthew 22, the first and great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. And a husband is told to love his wife. That emotion of love. Okay? And one way we demonstrate that we're disciples of Christ is by our love towards another disciple. John 13, verse 35. And John chapter 3, verse 16 shows that for God so loved the world he gave. When a person loves, they give to the person they love. Okay, but a person can give without loving, right? You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And when a person loves someone, they're going to want to give to them. But you might help the panhandler on the street because you feel guilty and you give something, but you don't love the guy. For God so loved. Now, when we jump into the word charity, okay, we are jumping into a different elevation of love. Charity is the word that God led the King James translators to use, and it's better, it's more understanding, it gives a different elevation for a Christian. Romans 14, verse 15 is the very first time agape, salape, is translated to charity, and 28 more times. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13 defines that. And we can express the word love to our children and love to our spouse, but if we don't have it backed up with charity, your love is dead. It's an elevated love. It's very unique. Charity, C-H, Christ, C-H, church, C-H, Christian, C-H, cherish. Isn't that in the vows? To love and cherish. Cherish, C-H, charity. It's an elevated. It's something that's done within the setting of Christ, that only Christ can help a person to demonstrate charity. Romans chapter 14, 15, he puts it in a setting of our relationship with people about our beliefs. And he says this, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Charitably is something to do with our walk. Something to do with our walk. And I want to run a few other places with it. If you would, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. And just look at the word charity. Now, if a person is a Greek friar, they're going to say, well, that word should be love. All the new Bibles changes the word charity to love. And even people that believe the King James Bible, they will even say, well, this is another way of saying love. Well, it's a very unique type of love. It's something that's unique that God has given us more revelation about. It says in Colossians 3, verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, even if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye, and above all these things, put on charity. What will charity do? Next phrase. Which is a bond of perfectness. Now, Mike Pearl in his child training class or books will say that parents need to tie strings with their children. Tie strings. And that, what he's talking about is have a bond with your child. What's going to have a bond with your child? Charity. Not just love. It's got to be backed up by charity. Will give a close bond that people will recognize you are close to your children. How does that occur? By charity. A lot of times we parents will say to them, you know, come talk to us about anything. And when they do, and if we don't like what they talk to us, we'll yell at them. Well, like that's going to help them talk to you next time. Well, it needed to be yelled at. Yeah, but if they voluntarily come to you and express some things that they have, then we want to keep that door open. What's going to keep that door open is charity. We can say, well, I love you. Yeah, but your love is dead without charity to that party. Charity in the growth in 2 Peter and brotherly kindness, add to your brotherly kindness, charity. Okay, so those are right next to each other. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, he says the end of the commandment is charity. He didn't say love, he said charity. It's a unique, elevated love within Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, he gives a list of things, and charity is sandwiched between faith and peace. So when a person displays charity, the person who displays this charity, they get faith and peace for themselves as a byproduct of the charity. And then in chapter 3, verse 10, our reaction to others, charity is sandwiched inside long-suffering and patience. So others will experience our patience when we have charity. It's a very unique, it's very distinct. In the King James Bible, there are distinct differences between love and charity. You don't get that out of agape and sophileo and agape sloppy and all that stuff. You get that out of the advanced revelation or the superiority of this English over Greek and Hebrew. That's not the only word, man. You can run several of those. Now, if you want to study a lot of words like that, Kyle Stevens put a book together called The Certainty of the Words, and he did a masterful job in that book. And I've read through it, and I picked it up again and started looking over it again, and just got such a blessing out of it. So I shot him an email and told him, boy, what a blessing that book is. I mean, you send it out to people. How many people go back to the auto dealership and tell them thank you for the car? You know, you go back and complain, right? How does the auto dealership know that you like what you got? Well, you come back and buy a second one. You don't go back and thank them. Well, go back and thank them, especially if you got a good deal. Or how many go back to the doctor and appreciate the doctor or some health practitioner that helped you out? Go back and tell them thank you for what they've done. Okay, and so this idea of charity, love without charity is dead. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 says, let all things be done with charity. So if you would, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, in law, when somebody is accused of a crime, let's say fraud. Okay, let's say they're accused of fraud. In the code or in the statutes or in the laws, the word fraud should have multiple characteristics. Let's say five. I haven't looked up the word fraud in the code, maybe four, I don't know. Now, when a person is charged or accused of fraud, when it goes into court, the party that's accused them has to prove all five characteristics to get a guilty verdict. If they prove four and they don't get the fifth, that person is innocent of fraud because you have to prove all five. And that goes with virtually every crime where there's a definition in there. A good attorney will hammer to the jury the one thing that they did not prove beyond reasonable shadow of a doubt, and that person should be found guilty, innocent. Now, charity is defined in our Bible, 1 Corinthians 13. Isn't it interesting it's in chapter 13? And chapter 13 is usually a negative number, and it's got 13 verses. It's a double negative. Like in algebra, when you multiply two negatives, it becomes a positive. Now, he defines the characteristics of charity from verse 4 to 8. He gives some illustrations at the beginning, the first three verses, and he even says that if somebody dies as a martyr, and if they didn't do it with charity, they died for themselves. Who would just die for themselves? Well, some people over in the Orient would. People in World War II, Japanese kamikaze pilots did. Okay, but this raises, this is not putting charity down at the level of love. It's a different level. It's a level that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to display. A lot of us parents, you know, we'll say to our, well, I love you, to our children. We'll utter that, you know. Usually our phone calls are, you know, goodbye, I love you, or I love you, goodbye, and stuff like that. But if that love is not backed up with charity, that love is dead. It's dead to that party. And something dead stinks. And it's going to hurt that relationship, and they're going to want to have nothing to do with it. And sometimes parents, well, I told them I loved them all the time. I just can't imagine why they did that. I loved them all the time. Yeah, but if you didn't back it up with charity, it was dead to them. It was dead. And I'm not saying you didn't love them. A narcissist will express love to their children, and I don't doubt that love. It's a perverted type of love, but the child that recognizes that this is, I don't interpret this to be true love, and it will be dead to them. Love without charity is dead. And this is something that's new, introduced to Christians. It is set in a Christian setting. Now, there is no doubt in my mind that most parents love their children. I would say some don't, but most will say, I love my child. But you see, if they don't have charity to back it up, that child is going to say, I'm glad you told me, because I would have never guessed on that. You see, a parent may say, I love you, and you say it expressed a lot, but if the action of words without charity causes that person to doubt their love. And that's why charity is a bond between parent and child. So let's look at our love. When we say our love, I love you, to a party, let's see if we have some things that back it up. First one, charity suffereth long and is kind. If he would have said suffered long and left it at that, we would have been okay. How many of us can suffer and be kind during our suffering? How many of us seen the billboards where attorneys, you know, are trying to get to a business and they say, you know, nursing home abuse? Why? It's because elderly people, when they are hurting and they're in pain, if they have Alzheimer's, they say things that are not normal and they don't feel good. They're suffering and they're not kind. And a natural reaction is to fight fire with fire. And if you're going to smart off to me, I'm going to smart off back. And if you're going to smack me, well, I'm going to smack you back. Charity suffers long and is kind. And that's, you know, sure, that's a problem in a nursing home industry. When people get Alzheimer's, they say things they don't know they're saying. But yet when a person hears that, instead of reacting, this is Lindsay's reaction to Mrs. Snow. Do I hear mean words? No, the reaction is coming back to them. And so when our children react back to us because of our anger, charity's not flowing back and forth. Charity suffereth long and is in kind. Are we impatient with our children and express it harshly? Are we impatient with others? Shake our head, insult them. Come on, you idiot, can't you get that? Do we belittle and berate them? I'm not doubting the person's love. And after we do that, we might say, you know, I love you. Yeah, but it's kind of dead right now. Why? Because you expressed not charity towards me. You violated one of the definitions, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Envieth not. This is often common with kids, young kids, teenagers, whatever. Charity envieth not. Why are you their friend and not my friend? Oh, you envy their friendship, and so in order for you to feel better about yourself, you got to tear down that friendship so that you can get your friendship. Charity envieth not. And why would somebody want to be a friend with me, a whiny little thing? You know, the Bible says whine's a mocker. You're whiny is a mocker too. Different form of whining. But charity envieth not. Do you belittle somebody in order to tear them down in your mind because you are envious? Well, you're not displaying charity. You know, how many preachers say, I love the Word of God, and then they tear it down? They don't love the Word of God. When they're tearing it down, they emulate it. They're jealous of it. The authority of this book is a pain to the scholars. So envieth not. Next one, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Okay, if a child disappoints a parent, parent says, after all I've done for you, vaunting up what you've done, look what I've done for you. That's manipulation. What if God did that to every time we did something wrong? God in heaven looks down, and then we get on our knees, and the Lord says, look all that I've done for you. Man, oh man. You see, that's vaunting ourselves up, putting ourselves in a position, okay, is not puffed up. Charity is not puffed up. Does a person insult their spouse, tear their spouse down? Why? To make yourself feel better about yourself, vaunting yourself. That's not charity. You can say, I love you all you want. In their mind, okay, yeah, I'll accept it. I love you all you want. Okay, but it's dead to me. Because you're tearing me down. Can't do anything right. I remember years ago, I just got to Rensselaer, and I'm knocking on some doors, and I came across somebody that used to come to the church in Rensselaer. They used to come, and so I thought, oh, I'll try to get them to come back. And I'm sitting there listening to this woman tear her husband down for about 30 minutes straight. I mean, that poor guy couldn't do anything right. And I'm just kind of waiting for my jab to come in. And finally she said something good about him, and then right as soon as she said, whoa, whoo, I'm glad this poor guy can do something right. You ripped him apart for about 30 minutes, and praise the Lord, he can do something right. They didn't obviously come to church after that. Well, what was that? And I'm sure she would say to him on many occasions, I love you. But in his heart said, that's dead. Everything I do, you got to criticize it. I mean, wow. Vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Do you speak down to people and try to bully them? Okay, next one. Charity. Doth not behave itself unseemly. That word, whew. Go to Romans 1:27, you want to see the definition of that word. And unfortunately, that takes place a lot of times. And the person that commits that unseemly act loves a child. But the child doubts it because it's dead. Doth not behave itself unseemly? Yeah, don't tell me you love me when you behave like that. And I think they do love them. But it's dead to the party because they're not backing it up with charity. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Next thing is, seeketh not her own. Seeketh not her own. You always got to have your way? Well, it's my way or the highway. Okay, always bossing the kids around. Go get this for me. Go get that for me. Get it yourself. You know, as far as that thing goes. Seeketh not her own. Looking out for the needs of others. A person can express, I love you all you want, but if it's not backed up with charity, it is a dead love to that party. Next one is not easily provoked. Do your children walk on eggshells in your house? When are they going to blow up next? And then you turn around and say, well, I love you. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt you mean that with all your heart. But the person you're expressing that to is doubting it. They may not say it, but they are doubting it. And your love is dead to them if it doesn't have charity. This is a unique thing that the Lord has revealed to the church. And I tell you, when we get into this, when you start looking at this, you say, wow, how can a person do something like this? It's only on the influence of the Spirit of God. It's like Richard Wurmbrand. A lot of times we can forgive others especially with time. Well, what about forgiving during the act of crime? Richard Wurmbrand, when he was in the prison in Romania, he and the guards made an agreement. And the guards said, if you preach, I beat you. He said, oh, okay, I'll agree to that. So he told the guys he got to preach to, he said, now after we're done, I get beaten. The guards are happy, they beat me. I'm happy, I get to preach. Wouldn't he have bitterness toward the guards? Somebody has stepped up to an elevation of the Spirit of God. Joseph, do you think that Joseph, when he was put on the camel after he was sold by his brothers to slavery, when he was put on the camel, if the brothers came to him and say, sorry, Joe, the deal's done, would you forgive us? Now, time marched on 14, 15 years later. When Dad died, they went back to Joe and said, would you forgive us? He said, oh, of course. Could he forgiven when he was put on the on that camel going down to Egypt? That's a different ballgame. Jesus Christ said on the day he was being brutally slaughtered by people, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's beyond human capability. Charity is stepping into that realm. Charity is stepping into that realm. Do you belittle, berate, or cuss your children? Sure, you can get away with it when they're small. When they get big enough, it's coming back. It's coming back. Do you scream at them? Do they scream back at you? Do you send out rude texts? Young people, if you get some rude texts from other young people, take that to your parents and show it to them. Don't let them get away with that. You're not helping that party. Okay, and this is what each of us have to do in our relationship with people. If somebody talk rude to you and belittle you and berate you on the job, tell them. If you don't object, you have no objection. Tell them, hey, you don't talk to people that way. We'll talk to you the way I want. Well, you're not going to talk to me that way. I'm not saying you have to get in their face. I just walk away from it. Not going to talk to me that way. If you want me to respect you, I'll talk to you kind way, then you need to talk to others kind way. You're not helping people, let them get away with these things. I mean, express to that party. Now, you know, I really don't appreciate being talked that way to. Well, I don't care what you think. Okay, see you later. I'm out of here. Well, what do you expect? Well, I expect that you're going to talk to a person with some kindness. You talk to other people like that? Do you like to be talked to like that? Then don't talk to somebody else that way. We need to express this to people. A lot of times, you know, you go into court and you sit out in a court in a lobby after a court case and a guy just got railroaded. He goes out in a hall and complains. Too late. He should have complained in the court to the judge. When a judge is mad, you just sit there and say, Judge, why is your neck muscles pumping out like that? Why did you turn red? Why are you yelling at me? Why'd your eyebrows go down like you comment on everything that he does? Because that gets on the record. The record don't see. And people object. They object too late. They're in the hall objecting. Wrong time to object. Object when it's happening. If a police officer is dealing with me and he puts his hand on me, right at the time I say, hey, I don't appreciate that. Don't touch me. Don't assault me. And they'll go like this. I tell you, police officers have to put up with so much garbage. I mean, a guy's, and a police officer has to be professional. If he's not professional, what happens? Camera comes out, police brutality. And he's just acting naturally. If somebody gets punched and is punching at you, man, you want to punch him back. But as far as the believer goes, charity steps in. And that's only by the Spirit of God. We can set boundaries. We can set boundaries. We can set verbal boundaries with people. We don't have to be rude about it. And people will learn. If they don't, I'm just not going to be around it. I choose not to be around it. See, so it says, is not easily provoked. Do you have a child that just gets under your skin? Ooh. Charity. Next one, thinketh no evil. What's that kid up to? Yeah, they're probably in that room. He's driving home from work. What's she been doing all afternoon? What's he been doing all afternoon? Thinketh no evil, the Bible says. This is what's called evil surmisings. You have no proof of it. And the devil is a master of this. He knows, he is a master. I say the devil, I'm referring to his cohorts, where they give thoughts. They give thoughts to when a husband's been at work, you know, and they apart from each other. He gives thoughts to him against his wife, evil surmising. He gives thoughts to her, evil surmising. If they dwell on these thoughts, when they get to see each other, they're not ready for a nice little kiss. They're ready for a nice big smack. And they got no evidence for it. You say, well, what if there's evidence? Well, deal with the evidence when it happens. But why get all riled up for nothing? Evil surmisings. Thinketh no evil. I mean, if we analyze our love, and if we are honest with ourselves, we just look at that. Whoa, am I going to have to give myself about a D minus? He says, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. That one I experienced and noticed quite a bit when I was in Colorado as a youth pastor. It was almost like the parents were waiting for the teenagers to mess up. And when they messed up, it was almost like they were happy they messed up. Oh, so-and-so really messed up. Kid, I knew that was going to happen. Well, what are you going to do about it now? You know, we had a kid mess up, taste off, ran away with a young girl. Well, I knew he was going to do that. So what did I do? I had to get in a car. No, what did I do? I had to fly out there and then rent a car and come back. Bring the kid back. Stuff like that. So what are we going to do with that? We're going to try to help. We're going to do it our best. I mean, man, young kids got all these temptations. They got multiple temptations. What I did as a kid, being raised on a farm, you know, all that stuff. What a glorious upbringing. But the temptations that young people are going through today is phenomenal. Phenomenal. And the Bible says, thinketh no evil, rejoices in the truth. And when they mess up, if charity steps in and helps them, a bond will come. And Jesus said, if a guy's forgiven more, they'll love more. Instead of always rubbing it back in their face. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Then he says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. And I find it interesting. And then he dropped to the end. It says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Now, any of us believers in Christ, we want our children to follow in our faith. We want that. But what does it say here? What happens if they don't? What's the greatest? Charity. Charity. You still can have a close bond. Okay? Charity is put in there. If you would look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, what I find very amazing here is that Peter, the Apostle Peter, writes about this. The Apostle Peter, after he denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times, the Lord had the deal in John 21, which we read. It was taken care of right then on the spot, under the blood, done, over with. I wonder how many times Simon Peter refreshed it in his memory. He probably cried himself to, oh, I can't believe I did that to the Lord. And he'd probably ask God to forgive him again. And the Lord in heaven saying, what are you talking about? That was taken care of. But how many spouses and parents, when a child does mess up and they get restored, and then they have another argument, and they bring up the offense again? It's like the husband and wife in a counseling session, he said, when we get in a fight, she always gets historical. And the counselor said, don't you mean hysterical? He said, no, historical. She brings up the past. You know, Simon Peter, after John 21, when that was taken care of, never heard from that again from Jesus Christ. Why? He says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And when he wrote that down, you know what? I bet you he stopped and thought about them three betrayals, the denials. Oh, why did I do that? What an idiot. And I probably grated at him. But the Lord never brought it up again. Because that's God. That's charity. You see, and when we get disappointed, and this is not a cover-up where it's not repented and taken care of. It's not that kind of a cover-up. It's when the party knows they were wrong, they confessed the wrong, they did what they could to make it right, they've moved on, it's under the blood. It's done. And charity steps in. See, love... We can express love all we want with our mouth, but your talk talks and your walk talks, but your talk, walk talks louder than your talk talks. You're saying they can't hear us what we're saying because our life is kind of in the way. Charity, very unique. King James Bible shows man something superior there. And the only way that we can live a life charitably is by yielding to the Spirit of God and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ in that matter. Okay, we'll go ahead and stop here and pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us that when we and should express our words of love towards each other, towards our friends, towards our family, towards our spouse, I pray that that love is backed up by charity. It's reinforced by charity. It is demonstrated by charity. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help us realize that we're not doubting a parent's love. We're not doubting that at all. There's no doubt in that that there's love. But the charity makes the party who hears it doubt it. Love without charity is dead. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to ask the Spirit of God to help us live the sanctified life and display charity. Well, heads bowed and eyes are closed. The altar's open if you'd like to use it. If you've never been born again, never trusted Jesus Christ, you're missing out on a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Knowing that you have eternal life. If you're not sure you have eternal life, if you ask anybody after we're dismissed, we'll be glad to show you. Charity is an elevated, Christ-like love. Very unique. Where amazingly, during the act of murder, Jesus Christ could say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's what Jesus Christ offers. And we as believers in Jesus Christ, when we express our love, and we should, that love will be questioned if we don't back it up with charity. Charity is outside of ourselves. It's the Spirit of God that does it. Lord, thank you for these words that you've given some advanced revelation to these men. Thank you. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to recognize that love without charity is dead. And help us to see that charity is what gives us a close bond. And I pray you, Lord, you'd help us to, we're not going to bat a thousand on this, but Lord, I do pray and ask that you'd help us by the Spirit of God to live that life and believe your word so that we can express it and then demonstrate our love. When we say, I love you, the party might say, I know, I could see it. Thank you for it. Lord, I pray you'd help us to love you supremely. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.